You know what we need? We need a radio show on the air, like maybe on Saturday nights, that talks about this kind of thing.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman here. I want to let my listeners know about a brilliant Renaissance man named Dr. Arthur Perry.
You want to talk to Arthur Perry? The best in plastic surgery.
He's a distinguished, award-winning cosmetic surgeon trained at Harvard and Cornell with a practice in New York City on Fifth Avenue.
Dr. Oz, are you there?
I'm here, Arthur, and I want to again applaud you, having worked with you on a book and numerous other activities.
He's written numerous medical journal articles, and he's contributed to textbooks on plastic surgery.
Your remarkable knowledge, but also your grace at delivering content, which is why it's been a blessing to have you on my show so many times.
It's clear that when it comes to skin and aging, this doctor knows what he's talking about.
Joan, the public wants to know.
The public doesn't give a damn.
As a really, really gifted physician, I want to pay you the highest tribute I can give to a surgeon, which is when people come to you, they don't come for an operation, they come for an opinion. And that's why I trust you with my friends and relatives.
When I was a resident at the University of Chicago, we had a...
That means you're smart.
I didn't realize we were going to get the Michael Jordan of plastic surgeon. 90210 bows to this guy.
And welcome. This is Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle? Right here on WABC. And it's Saturday evening, and that means it's time to talk about you, about your wrinkles, and about your jowls, and about your small breasts, or large breasts, or droopy breasts, or fat around the hips. Yeah, this is the Plastic Surgery Show right here on WABC. We've been here for 13 years, and I'm here to answer your questions. 800-848-9222, 800-848-WABC. Tonight, we've got all good topics for you. I can't wait to get into these different topics. We're going to talk a little bit more about the lasers. We've been talking about over the last few weeks about lasers and about intense pulse light. But tonight we're going to do it a little bit differently. We're going to compare the different techniques because it gets to be a little confusing to you and even to some doctors because there are many techniques now for facial rejuvenation and many different types of machines and treatments. So we'll try and make some sense out of all these different procedures this evening. And I'm also going to talk about maybe a procedure that I won't be doing anymore. Oh boy. Well, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. We're going to talk about you, answer your questions, 800-848-WABC, and listeners, actually callers, not listeners, you too, but callers to tonight's show, will receive a bottle of Nighttime. Nighttime is the one-stop shopping for skincare. It's everything you need in just one bottle. It's a light serum, not a cream. Why? Because I don't want residue on your skin. We don't want extra things that don't contribute to your appearance. So I put vitamin C, 10%. That's a lot. Very few skin preparations have 10% vitamin C, and the reason they don't is because vitamin C is a hard one to work with. A lot of different companies will put just a little bit of vitamin C in so they can say they put it in, but how many actually put the percentage on the label? I do, and I use the right form. A lot of companies use the wrong form, and to you, what does that mean? Well, it's mystifying to you why someone might use the wrong form of vitamin C. The wrong form means your body can't use it. Only L-ascorbic acid, that's the technical term for the right type of vitamin C, is the one that can be used by your body. And you say, well, why would a company want to use something other than that? And the reason is, it's very fragile. And when companies work with vitamin C, it deteriorates very quickly. It becomes kind of brownish very quickly. And rather than deal with that, they go ahead and use something like magnesium ascorbyl phosphate or one of these other chemicals that legally they are allowed to say is vitamin C, but your body can't say it's vitamin C because it can't use it. Your body is very, very specific, and it can only use the right form of vitamin C. Well, I have it in my Nighttime, as well as vitamin A and fruit acids, two different types, citric acid and lactic acid, and all sorts of other good things like milk thistle. That's what's in Nighttime, and it could be yours. So give us a call and ask me a good question. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. I'm a board-certified plastic surgeon, and I'm here for a long time now to answer your questions, to educate you, maybe entertain you just a little bit. But let's go right ahead and take the first phone call. Fred, what can I do for you? What is your wrinkle?
Hello, doctor. Thanks for taking my call. Essentially, my teenage daughter is breaking out in the face with pimples. I know you're a plastic surgeon, but I thought I would ask anyway, what's the best way to treat pimples on teenage faces?
Well, you know, virtually all teenagers get breakouts. You know, just at the point of puberty and just before and at puberty, it's so common. And most children and most adolescents, they kind of outgrow it. And they can use, most people can get by with things like benzoyl peroxide or just a good hygiene, good face washing. But if it really becomes a problem, it can affect your child psychologically and can affect her appearance. It's a girl, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Can affect her appearance her entire life because she can get scarring from it. So if it's enough to really, you know, get her attention and get your attention, then I certainly do advise going to see a dermatologist, not a plastic surgeon. So a plastic surgeon like myself, I deal with sort of the complications of acne, but I don't deal with acne per se. That would be the province of a dermatologist. And there are all sorts of treatments. There's benzoyl peroxide. There's Retin-A. There is the intense pulse light treatment that we talked about over the last few weeks. All of these are useful for acne, but it really depends on your daughter's condition. So get her to a dermatologist if she's really troubled by it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks for calling, Fred. This is Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle? Right here on WABC. The phone number, 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222. So there are lots of different ways to make you look better. Let's take a 50-year-old woman, a typical patient of mine. You're 50 years old, and what do you see at 50 years old? Well, you see some early wrinkles. You see wrinkles around your eyes. You see splotchy pigmentation. No matter what your skin color, whether you're very, very light or very, very dark, by the time you hit 50, you're usually going to see some splotchy pigmentation. You're also going to see the sagging jowls and extra skin in the neck, usually a little fat in the neck. Well, the procedures that help the skin rejuvenate the skin are not necessarily the same ones that rejuvenate your overall appearance. And that means we start with a skincare program to help you look better. And I've talked on this show a lot about my skincare program, vitamin A, vitamin C, fruit acids. Those are the mainstays of looking better. And when do you start, by the way? When do you start? Pretty early. 20 years old, maybe earlier, because maintaining the collagen in your skin is a lot easier than trying to replenish it once it goes away. So certainly a skincare program with vitamin A and vitamin C, very, very good. But once those wrinkles begin, then it's time to do something. So we have so many different things. We have Botox, and we've talked about that quite a bit. Botox is most useful for the horizontal wrinkles of the forehead, the vertical wrinkles between the eyes, between the eyebrows, and the crow's feet. Those are the three main places that I use Botox. And then there's filler. We use filler mostly around the mouth. So we restore the lips. We restore the fill in the wrinkles that are like spokes of a wheel around the lips. I return you to a youthful state, more like when you were 30 with filler. So that means there's a line between the red and white of your lip that goes away as you get older. We want to put that back with filler. We want to restore those little ridges between your nose and your upper lip called the filtral ridges. That's very important to do. And we fill in the nasolabial fold. We fill in the marionette line. And also help help fill in the little depression between the jowl and the chin. So those are some of the things we do with filler. Now, what about color of your face? Splotchy pigmentation that we all get as we get older. So peeling has been around since the early 1960s. Now, I trained with Drs. Baker and Gordon in Miami, two very, very well-known plastic surgeons, both still alive, in their 90s now, but they were excellent plastic surgeons. They invented the deep chemical peel. And the deep chemical peel was groundbreaking in 1962 because until then there was really nothing that we could use that could help with fine wrinkles. The problem with the deep chemical peel, it was a two-week recovery. We put it on your face. You wound up having a wound. Your skin actually comes off. Oh my goodness. It really does. The upper layer of skin comes off and then you have a wound. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, women, when you have this peel, you remember it and you'll never want it again. But the effect is incredible because it really does help the fine wrinkles and even the deep wrinkles. But the deep chemical peel kind of went out of favor and was replaced with the laser in 1995. And the reason the laser was good was because it could be controlled. The depth of the peeling could be easily controlled. And the deep chemical peel actually affected your heart in some cases, but the laser does not. What does that mean? Well, we had to have an anesthesiologist with a deep chemical peel to monitor your electrocardiogram, because that stuff, that phenol, actually got absorbed into your bloodstream. So I rarely do the deep chemical peels anymore, but I still do the lasers. Now, the heyday of the laser, the CO2 laser, was between 1995 and 2005. And what does the laser do? Once again, it vaporizes the upper layer of skin and creates a wound. And you say, well, why would I want to create a wound? Well, when we create a wound, your body sees that and heals it. And it heals it by shrinking the tissue. That's a good thing because it also shrinks the wrinkles. And you generate collagen. You thicken the skin. So by doing that, you actually look significantly better. So the problem, though, with the deep laser, the CO2 laser, was that in most people, the skin lightened too much. And so you saw kind of a line of demarcation between the jawline and the neck. So somewhere around 2003, the fractional laser came in. And what was that? It's also a CO2 laser. It's a carbon dioxide laser. But it's one that, instead of removing the entire upper layer of skin and letting it heal, we just sort of drill little holes in the skin. This all sounds wonderful, doesn't it? What we do to look better, huh? Well, anyway, we actually spare some of the skin between the different holes. Now, that music says we've got to go. I'll be back after these words. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, 800-848-9222.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's your wrinkle?
And what is your wrinkle? I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is the show about you, about your wrinkles. And during the break, we were talking about this deer. You know, I'm out in a remote location, and there was this National Geographic thing going on right in front of me with a deer on his hind legs, you know, threatening my dog. So if I sounded distracted, I thought I was going to see an interesting fight here, not the type that occurs in Madison Square Garden. All right, 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. WABC. So we were talking about peeling and lightening the skin, but not so much lightening, but evening out the tone of the skin, getting rid of the upper layers of skin that look older, that are rough, that might have some capillaries that come with sun damage. You know, there's a whole constellation of symptoms you get as you age. And I don't have to tell you this. You know what you get because you look in the mirror and you see those wrinkles. You see the red splotches. You see brown splotches. And, of course, sagging. And overall, you just look older. So what can we do? So, you know, the deep peel we were talking about, the lighter peel, is very, very good. It's called the TCA peel, trichloroacetic acid, otherwise known as an Obagi peel. But, you know, Obagi, Dr. Obagi, is an excellent Beverly Hills dermatologist, not plastic surgeon, and he designed the TCA peel, or popularized it is a better word. And I do that peel. It's a very good peel for color, for evening out color. But now, here's what happens. The all the different lasers and all the different peels have something in common, and that is the more superficial the peel, the more superficial the laser, the quicker the recovery, but the less the effect. So conversely, the deeper we go with a peel or the deeper we go with a laser, the more profound the effect. So with a peel, we have that deep peel that I told you no one wants anymore. Then we have the TCA peel, and that does have downtime. It's got about 5 to 6 days downtime. And I say that the TCA peel is not for the faint of heart. And I say this real seriously. It's a great peel. I love doing it. And patients really love the benefits. But let me tell you something. The day of the peel, it hurts a little bit, but not terrible. But that evening, you look a little bit red. The next day, you look gray. You know, you look in the mirror, you will not leave your house. You will not answer the door. The day after that, it kind of looks like you have put saran wrap on your face and you've taken a hair dryer and kind of melted it on your face. This is a great picture, right? good to do around Halloween, by the way. So that's day three. Day four, that kind of splits. You get little cracks in that, and by day five, it begins to peel off. And at the end of day five or day six, you've got beautiful new skin that's a little bit red for a couple weeks, but it really looks wonderful. So the TCA peel is a great peel, but you have to have that 6 days in order to go through the peel. And you can't expect to go to work 2 days later. You will be very unhappy. So a lot of people don't have that kind of time. So then we peel lighter with glycolic acid or other peels like that, the fruit acid peels. But those are very, very subtle, those peels. And it takes five or six of those to look like even a little bit like the TCA peel. So, and we space those about a month apart. So if you have no downtime, like my patients who are on television or who just can't miss work, or don't want anyone to know they've had anything, then we do a glycolic peel. But now we've got the whole generation of lasers and intense pulse light. So we're going to talk, we're going to take a few phone calls, and then we'll talk about the lasers. We've got CO2 lasers, we've got erbium lasers, and we've got intense pulse light. And they're all very interesting, a little bit different, each of them. But let's go to Carmine. Carmine, what can I do for you? What is your wrinkle?
Hi. Well, my sister did an in-office microderma needling, whatever. But I'm reading about roller needling over the counter. You know, you get the needle. How do you feel about that?
Oh, well, all right. So microneedling, that's kind of the hot thing in dermatology and plastic surgery. And I was just at the Aesthetic Society meeting. That's our big meeting every year. We had it in New York about a month ago. And there must have been 40, maybe 50 different companies selling these microneedling devices. Let me tell you what they are. They remind me of any of you who grew up on a farm. You know, there's this type of tractor that punches holes in the ground. You know, it's got these, got this wheeled thing. I guess it's called is it a thrasher? I don't know what it's called. Maybe my farming listeners can tell me exactly what that machine is. But regardless, it kind of punches holes in the ground and aerates it. Well, that's what the microneedling device does to your face. It's the little tiny needles, and it pierces the skin. And what does it do? It creates an injury, and all injuries heal sort of the same way. We get a little bit of shrinkage of skin and a little bit of collagen generation, and that's the concept between with microneedling. Now, let me tell you, the machines are very unregulated. Some of them are FDA approved, and some are not FDA approved. Some have electric current that goes through these little needles, and I looked very carefully at all these machines at the meeting because I got to stay up with the hot topics, right? But then I went to the literature. And let me tell you, Carmine, do you know how many scientific papers actually demonstrate that microneedling does something for you? Take a wild guess.
I can't even imagine.
Well, you actually said it, none. You sort of said it. There aren't any. There's no science to it. There really isn't. And on the basis of that, I chose not to purchase one of these machines because I'm only going to do what's scientifically based. So it kind of sounds interesting but very primitive, a way to roll over your face and generate enough new collagen to look better. How about those home devices? Even worse, I really could see terrible things happening if you take these needle things and roll it over your face. I would not do that. I really wouldn't do it, and I honestly wouldn't do it at the dermatologist or plastic surgeon's office or the esthetician's office either. I'm sorry to say that. It is the hot thing. But why is it the hot thing? Because the companies have a nice new technology, and these machines range anywhere from $600 to $60,000 for plastic surgeons to buy. So I'm not wild about it. I was with an open mind. I looked at it. Interestingly, in my book that came out 10 years ago, Straight Talk About Cosmetic Surgery, I mentioned this. And so this is this year's hot thing, but it was around 10 years ago. And like so many things, it just takes a good PR agency to get a lot of attention to it. So, Carmine, I'm not a fan of that.
Oh, I'm so glad I called, and I'll tell my sister as well, because I think she may, do it again, and I don't think she should. So I'll do that. And maybe I could pick your brain for one, half a second. One time I had an allergic reaction, and I have a line above my nose. You know that line that everybody gets when they're squinting or whatever?
And, the vertical
and
lines?
Correct. I had an allergic reaction to something I ate or something I applied. I don't remember. But anyway, the area got swollen. It irritated it. And then I looked like 10 years younger. Can't they create that? Can't they give something that can irritate your skin to make it look? And then since then, I've been trying to look for things to irritate that area.
No. So you don't. We don't want inflammation and we don't want irritation. And you're right. When you're swollen, your wrinkles go away. That's like the old.
You
sound too young. But way back in the 1940s and 50s, I didn't see those movies when they were made because I wasn't born until 1957. But back in the old days when these women would kind of slap their face, you know, just a little bit before a date, their wrinkles, their cheeks would look a little redder and their little wrinkles would go away. Remember those days in the movies?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's because of the inflammation. So there's a condition of the eyelids called blepharocalasia. That's one of those big fancy plastic surgery words, blepharocalasia. And a lot of women have it. It's a recurrent swelling of the eyelids. And it's usually due to products like makeup, skincare, shampoo, things like that. But it can be due to foods and things of that nature also. But blepharocalasia, women who get that get recurrent swelling. Their eyelids swell a lot, then they go down, then they swell a lot, they go down. And they tend to grow a lot of extra skin because of that, because they overstretch their skin. So there's an actual condition. While they're a little swollen, their wrinkles are a little less. Their swelling goes down, they have more wrinkles. So there are substances, I call them swellers. There are things that make your lips bigger and wrinkles better within minutes. They usually have these pepper type compounds in them, capsaicin, I believe the chemical is, and they irritate the skin enough to cause some swelling. Now, once probably doesn't make a difference. A couple times doesn't make a difference. But if you're one of these people that does it three times a week or more, then I believe that you are going to be generating new wrinkles. So in the short run, you look a little bit better. In the long run, you look a lot worse. So I don't favor that. And that's different from my friend John Greenhut's product. This is a sort of not really a commercial because he's not a sponsor. He should be, John. He's got something called Plexaderm, I believe. And that is a silicone material that covers up the wrinkles. That's different. It doesn't cause inflammation. It's more like a makeup. It's got the Cinderella effect. As soon as you wash it off, your wrinkles are back. That one's safe for your skin. But the swellers, the different ones, they're not safe, in my opinion.
Plexaderm,
all right.
Is over the counter? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, call my buddy John Greenhut and you tell him Dr. Perry sent you. John and I did the skincare products years ago, night skin, day skin, things like that, and now he's on to bigger and better things. So, all right, Carmine, thanks so much for the phone call. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. Now, Nancy, hang on the line because we've got to take a break, so I'm not going to be able to get to your phone call until after the break, but Nancy, stay on. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WABC. The phone number, 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. And before our break, I want to mention Facebook. Everybody's on Facebook, and I'm on Facebook too. Go to my Facebook page. It's facebook.com/Dr. Arthur Perry. That's for me as a plastic surgeon. And if you're interested in the products, it's facebook.com/Dr. Perry's, and you'll see all the new information about the new products coming up. Yes, there are new ones. And we'll be putting some information on Facebook in upcoming weeks. So stay, check out that. And we'll be back with this show in just a few minutes. 800-848-9222.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's your wrinkle?
And what is your wrinkle? I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is a show about you. Give me a call, 800-848-9222, 800-848-WABC. So in this half hour, we're going to talk a little bit more about lasers and erbium lasers and CO2 lasers and intense pulse light. I'm going to talk about what I think gets my award for the stupidest new procedure of the year. You can't believe this one. This is amazing. Wait until you hear what they're doing now. Unbelievable. But I also want to tell you that the tax laws are changed. Did you see that? The Supreme Court said that now internet-based companies like mine will have to start collecting or might have to start collecting tax from every state in the country. And until this point, you know, my company is based in New Jersey. So if you were in New York, you didn't have to pay tax on my products. But you know what? I guess the governments, they need all the money they can get their hands on. So they're all going to be collecting tax now. And the big companies like Amazon don't care anymore. They did in the beginning, but now they have a physical presence in each state. They really don't care. And in fact, it's in their interest because it makes it tougher for companies like mine. But that's the way it is. You can't complain. But what we're going to do, we're having a sale now because it's sort of the last chance to get my products before the tax kicks in. Unless you're in New Jersey, you're already paying it. I don't know exactly when this tax is going to start, but you can be sure that now that the Supreme Court has allowed it, the states are going to be running very quickly to get that tax collected in their state. So all my products, 20% off, that's what we're doing now. And you have to use the code We Hate Tax. That's the code, We Hate Tax. If you do that, any product, as many as you want, whether it's nighttime, daytime, clean time soap, or soft time, or the kits, any of those things, put the code in, We Hate Tax. That's good until Monday, and you get 20% off. That's worth celebrating, or maybe that's not a good word for the new tax. All right, I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is the show about you, and Nancy has been waiting patiently. What can I do for you, Nancy? What's your wrinkle?
Oh, hi, doctor. I just wanted to know, how long does an unopened bottle of nighttime stay stable in the refrigerator?
You're talking about the glass bottle, correct? Not
yes.
The old plastic one. If it's continuously refrigerated, it will be. We've been doing an ongoing study, and we're at 3.5 years stable in the refrigerator as long as it's kept nice and cold. So it should be a long time. If you leave it out of the refrigerator and open it, if you open it, you have about 6 months to use it. And that's kind of the long end of it. You know, the color begins to change as it ages, and with the color change, we lose some of the vitamin C. So when it goes from a light beige, which is the starting color, a very light, you know, clear to light beige, and it goes to sort of a yellowish color, then we've lost about half of the vitamin C. All right, and if it goes to brown, we've lost probably 80% of the vitamin C. That's how it works. So I advise when you buy a nighttime, put it right in the refrigerator, the one you're not using. And please, every week we get people that want to shake the bottle. Well, first of all, I put nitrogen on top of the nighttime so that oxygen doesn't get to it. It's one of my little secrets that I'm telling you, how I keep the nighttime as long as I can. So we put nitrogen in there, and we bubble it through it, and then some carbon dioxide is generated from the process. So we have both nitrogen and carbon dioxide. And so what that means is if you shake the bottle, it's going to be like a can of Coca-Cola that you shake and shroom, out it goes. So don't shake it. I don't understand. I put labels on the website, on the outside of the carton, on the outside of the box. There's three labels, don't shake it. And every week someone calls my office and says, I shook it and, you know, it exploded. So be careful.
I don't shake it.
Don't shake it. All right.
Okay.
All right,
thanks.
Nancy.
Thanks a lot, Doc.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. All right. So now, how about the dumbest procedure? I mean, you can't believe this one. Are you ready for this? In the Aesthetic Surgery Journal in the May issue, there was a paper out of Korea where I guess there's a lot of women that have kind of chubby calves in Korea. I think in the United States also. But, you know, those of you who have listened to me for a long time know that about 6 or 7 years ago, I talked about the other crazy operation where they actually strip away some of the muscle of the calf. Well, apparently, they've realized that most people who have that operation to have some slender calves look pretty bad. So now here's generation two of this operation. You can't believe this. So they're going in and cutting away a good section of the nerve to what's called the gastrocnemius muscle and the soleus muscles. Those are the two main muscles of the calf. They make up your calf. They help you walk. So they don't destroy all of the muscle, but they destroy about two-thirds of the muscle by cutting away the nerve. So this is a very severe injury. And then they do liposuction of the calf. And they showed very nice pictures of women who have had this procedure. So let's think about this now. God gave us muscles in our legs so that we can walk. When we take nerves and cut them away, we can no longer walk properly. Now, I have to say, in this paper, they said that while walking and running were not affected, we advise against doing this procedure in athletes or dancers. What does that tell you? That tells you that walking and running is affected. And I suppose if you're one of these people that would rather look good than be able to walk, then you have this procedure. It's just incredible. It really is. This is where plastic surgery crosses the line, in my opinion. You know, it affects your ability to walk, affects your overall health. It's just pretty stupid. So you're going to see this now because it was published in our very large journal, and plastic surgeons in the United States are going to start doing it. So if you've got chubby calves, beware, because someone is going to do this procedure on you if you let them. All right. So isn't that silly? I don't know. You know, I think cosmetic surgery should be used for to make you look normal and to help people's self-esteem. But sometimes it really does cross the line, and this is one of these. And, you know, there's an editorial that accompanied this, and it was fairly critical of the paper also. All right, I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, 800-848-9222, 800-848-WABC. So now we've talked a little bit about the peels. Now, as a kind of segue into the lasers, there was a paper in the Journal of Cutaneous Aesthetic Surgery. I'm sure you all read that one. And they looked at the difference between the chemical peel, a TCA chemical peel, that's the mid-level peel, the one that I like a lot, and the erbium laser, which I have in my office. So they compared the erbium laser with the chemical peel for melasma. Melasma is a condition of the skin characterized by kind of dark pigment, usually on the forehead, sometimes across the cheeks. It's called the mask of pregnancy because a lot of women get it during pregnancy. Women get it who are on birth control pills, hormone replacement, but some people just get it even without any of those stimuli. So both of those treatments were equally effective in this study. So whether it's the TCA peel or the erbium laser, they were equally effective in helping melasma. But the problem with it was that melasma is a very complex hyperpigmentation. That means too much pigment, and it tends to return. And that's one of the problems with melasma, not fully understood. So, but it is interesting that, you know, then you say, well, why would I do the TCA peel as opposed to the erbium laser? Well, the erbium laser has about a 3-day downtime. TCA peel is about a 6-day, so it's a little bit less. That's an advantage. What are the other advantages? The erbium laser probably hurts just a little bit less than the TCA peel. All right, well, what about wrinkles? What about wrinkles and the erbium laser? That's that mid-level laser. Some people call it the Hollywood laser. What about that? And the deeper one, the CO2 laser. What about their effectiveness for wrinkles? Well, there were side-by-side studies that looked at both of those. And both of those, the CO2 laser and the erbium laser, were effective in reducing wrinkles of the face, but the erbium laser had less complications, and that's interesting. And part of the reason is the erbium laser penetrates a little less deeply than the CO2 laser. But these things are all very variable, and your doctor, whether it's a plastic surgeon or dermatologist, can vary the intensity and the wattage, the energy level of both of these. And so while we say that, well, one has a lower complication rate. If lower energy is used for the CO2 laser and higher energy is used for the erbium laser, well, that exactly would not happen. You might have more complications from the erbium laser. So it depends on the physician and how he or she uses the laser. All right, I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, 800-848-9222. We're going to be back with more of the show after these words. All right. Okay, are we back there? We didn't get the intro music there, but I guess sometimes it just I guess they didn't pay the bill for the intro music this week. All right, I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle? 800-848-9222, 800-848-WABC. All right. So, how many of you watch Kimmy Schmidt? You know, that's a great show on Netflix. They have a lot of mention of plastic surgery on the show, and I'm binge-watching through this. I guess season two, there was a great episode where people were at the restaurant, I guess, looking at some older women that looked very young, and Kimmy Schmidt said something about the youthful appearance of these people, and apparently they weren't young at all because the other person said, well, look at their hands, and you had this one woman with a beautiful 50-year-old face and hands that looked about 90, and what does that have to do with me? Well, we're kind of in an era now of hand rejuvenative surgery. We really are. It's that we've been doing this for faces for the last 40 years, and all of a sudden we've got all these new procedures for hand rejuvenation. So I get asked all the time, well, what can I do about these hands? Look at them. So I want to go over some of the different techniques that have been used to make your hands look better. The most common now is the injection of radius. Radius is one of the wrinkle fillers. That's kind of a white pasty material, and it's injected between the tendons and around the veins of the hand to disguise them. Because what happens with your hands, just like your face, your skin thins as you get older. You lose 1% of the thickness of your skin every year after age 30, and then you can see through it. So you see those tendons and you see those veins. So by putting radius in. And radius, I think, is the best filler for this one. Much better than the hyaluronic acid fillers. They are also FDA approved for this indication. In fact, just a couple weeks ago were FDA approved. But radius is, because it has white color to it, it does a much better job. I've done both. I've done hyaluronic acid and radius. And the few that I did with hyaluronic acid, I had to repeat and put the radius in. So it just doesn't work as well. Although that's better in the face, I think, than radius. But that's a whole separate discussion. Nevertheless, radius is one of those things where we can hide the tendons. Now, there's some people actually, when you talk about kind of silly things in plastic surgery, some people have actually done sclerotherapy for the veins in the hands. What's sclerotherapy? That's great in the legs when we inject something to destroy the little veins or the capillaries of the legs or even varicose veins. Great in the legs. No problem. We have lots of redundancy, extra veins, and we do very well also in the face. We laser the veins of the face, the capillaries. But how about those in the hands? Really a dumb idea. Really a dumb idea. Don't do this. Don't inject the veins in the hands. Why? Because someday you're going to need those. And if you haven't been hospitalized yet, thank goodness, but you will. You'll be hospitalized eventually. You're going to wind up in the emergency room. This is fact of life. Everybody it happens to. You're going to wind up in the emergency room. You're going to wind up in the hospital. And that poor intern is going to be looking for a vein on your hand. And you will have, for the sake of vanity, destroyed the veins of your hand. Don't do it. You'll make his or her job much more difficult, and that means your life will be made much more difficult. Don't disturb the veins of the hand. So it's just one of those things that's not smart to do. So hide them, that's okay, but don't destroy them. So what do? We put radius in the hands, but then we've got all that splotchiness. So for the last few years, I've been using cryotherapy. That means I freeze off some of those splotches of the hands, and that works. But now the CO2 laser has been altered now. And this is a really cool thing. We just got this in my office. You put your hand in this box. It's pretty cool. And the CO2 laser, it lasers the back of your hand in 45 seconds. Zap. You know, it really doesn't hurt. I did it to my hand. It depends on how deep we go, of course, but it will reduce the appearance of those brown splotchiness, and it will actually get rid of wrinkles. And like anything else, the deeper we go, the more the effect, but the deeper we go, the more downtime. So it could be as superficial as almost seeing nothing initially except a little bit of lightening of the brown spots. And you might be someone who can't have downtime, and we do this, and then you come back a couple of weeks later and we do it again. So that could be, or we could set it a little bit deeper. But it is really one of these space age things where it's a box shaped like a hand that attaches to the laser, and you press the button and bang. Really amazing. So this is one of the new technologies, and this is the CO2 laser, not the erbium laser, not the intense pulse light, although that can be used also. So there's lots of different ways. So in my office, I've got the CO2 laser, the erbium laser, the intense pulse light, different peeling techniques. It's a whole discussion as to which one you have. But it's a nice thing to have choices now, as opposed to 30 years ago where there was virtually nothing. I mean, if you had brown spots on your hands, there wasn't much we could do. We could spot peel here and there, but that would leave kind of a white spot where we peeled the brown spot. You know, not so good. So now it's a much, much better thing. All right, I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, and this is What's Your Wrinkle? The phone number, 800-848-9222, 800-848-WABC. So over the last few years, you've heard me talk about thread lifting. You know, over 10 years ago, those barb sutures came and then left us. And the reason they left us, about 2008, I think it was that the barb sutures were found to be not effective and had a high complication rate. You know, so here we are, fast forward 10 years later, there's these new things called, there's InstaLift and other barb sutures and things like that. And everybody was very hopeful that these things would be a new generation of these sutures, these things that you could put in your face and they'd lift your nasolabial fold and lift your jowls and really make it so that you didn't have to have a facelift, even if you had to repeat these every few years or so. As it turns out, there was a review article that just came out in one of our journals, and unfortunately, this has not panned out. And it's sort of like a repeat of 10 years ago. So this was in the journal Plastic and Reconstructive Surgery, which is considered the granddaddy of all the plastic surgery journals. And, you know, I call it the second demise of the barb sutures. It's actually the title of this thing was Thread Lift Sutures Still in the Lift. And they reviewed the literature, and the conclusion is something that is not so good. And it turns out there's only been, in the history of these type of sutures, only 12 original articles. There's a whole bunch of papers, scientific papers, that kind of restates these. But there were only 7 papers since that review article that slammed the lid on these things about 10 years ago. And unfortunately, the conclusion of this paper was there's no convincing evidence that these things have durability, and the only 2 really positive studies were paid for by the companies that manufacture these things. So the conclusion was, you know, well, the conclusion to me is that I'm not going to be doing them anymore. How's that? You know, I really need to see scientific evidence if I'm going to do these procedures. And it's not enough for the companies to tell you that they're good. The sutures have to do something. There has to be publication. So when we talk about science in plastic surgery, let's go back to Ulthera, for instance. It came out in 2008. I was really enamored by this new, really interesting technology. This is ultrasound, where we can actually visualize the tissue and then use ultrasound energy to shrink the tissue, lift the brow, lift the jowl, tighten the neck. So I was an early adopter of that technology. It's not typical of me. I like to really sit and look at the scientific publications, but that one really, really was interesting. And I'm happy to tell you that over the last now 10 years of Ulthera, it's done what I expected it to do. There's now something in the area of 30 scientific papers that support the use of it, that say it's good, it works, and so on and so forth. So that's a good thing. There's a good evidence that that works. These lasers, these aren't new. The ones that I'm talking about today, the CO2 laser, the erbium laser, the intense pulse light, those are not new. They've been around for the CO2 laser 20-something years. I've been using it for 20-something years. We tweak these lasers a bit. We change the energy. We change the pattern. We change the way we do the lasers. But basically, the science is the same, and the lasers are well proven in our field. So are peels. I mentioned to you that I trained with the guys that invented the chemical peel. And these peels, through all their different changes, have stood the test of time. They're good and they work. But there's, you know, the face of plastic surgery, no pun intended, is sort of littered over the years with machines that come. You know, I mentioned this to you a few weeks ago. There's always someone at the plastic surgery meeting that says, the next new thing, the next big thing in plastic surgery, here it is. And I've been through 30-something years of the next big thing in plastic surgery that's not even around in 2 years after that meeting. You know, so you have to be skeptical, and that's what this program is all about. We want to be skeptical. We want to be careful. We want to use science and not just hype something. That's what this is all about. So, you know, these new thread lifts, not so good, apparently. That's what the publication in Plastic and Reconstructive Surgery says, and when they really look critically at it. So, I guess I won't be doing those anymore. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. I know there's all these calls that are coming in now. Please call at the beginning of the show. We're winding up the show. So 6 o'clock next week, we'll be back. Save your phone calls. Save your ideas. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. During the week, you can give me a call, 212-753-1820 in Manhattan, 732-422-9600 in New Jersey. I'm in both offices all week long, slaving over a hot scalpel. Not so hot. All right. It's been a great show. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see everybody next week. Bye-bye now.
This program was sponsored by Dr. Perry Skindustries, LLC. The views expressed by the preceding program are those of the sponsor and not necessarily the opinions of 77 WABC or Cumulus Media.